Well, hello and welcome to another edition of Back Porch Bluegrass. I'm your host, Paul Trenwith, and I've got an hour of bluegrass lined up for you that I just hope that you're going to sit with me and enjoy it. And I've got some of my favourites on there, like Laurie Lewis and the Right Hands and John Reichman and the Jaybirds and Reno and Smiley. Some classic bluegrass, good to have. Russell Moore and Third Time Out, and a few surprises as well. We'll also be doing an interview, one that I recorded at the beginning of the year at the first Kiwi Grass Festival, and it's an interview with Paul Duff of the band Bluegrass Parkway, and it's talking to Paul about Duff mandolins, how he makes them and why he makes them and all that sort of thing. So I hope you'll find that interesting. That'll be in the middle of the program somewhere. So we'll get going with Back Porch Bluegrass for you. And first up is Laurie Lewis and the Right Hands. This is an album recorded live back in 2007. Laurie Lewis on fiddle, Tom Rosen on mandolin, Scott Huffman on guitar, Craig Smith on banjo, Todd Phillips on string bass, and they've got an extra fiddle player on one of the tunes I'm going to play. Tatiana Hargreaves is playing fiddle on one tune. We'll hear a couple of tunes, Alaska, which is a great tune, and I really enjoy Laurie singing that, and then Oh My Melissa, and coupled with How Old Are You? A couple of fiddle tunes there, and some vocals from Tom Rosen. So listen up, let's hear it.
On that train tonight. Heard that there's work there. Heard that there's 6 months of daylight. Heard that the train stops in Seattle, where you can get your feet back on the ground. I think I'll go up to Alaska, where the heat of the summer's come down. Some heavy troubles on my brain. Gotta hold your head up when everyone in town knows your name. And I got some money in my back pocket from some steady job that I've been holding down. And I think I'll go up to Alaska, where the heat of the summer's coming down. Like the North Country at all. Can't take my sister if there's no mirrors on the wall. Can't take a book to read, cause I'm only thinking of the land where I am bound. I think I'll go up to Alaska, where the heat of the summer's come down. Skin. Hope that it makes it through whatever situation I get in. Boots made of leather, my coat's for the weather, and you won't find me hanging around. I think I'll go up to Alaska where the heat of the summers come down. I think I'll go up to Alaska where the heat of the summers come down. Monroe's my name, and I'm here to make a stand. Before the summer starts to wane, I'll win your heart and hand. My daddy says you are too poor just to share a cropper's daughter. Just to hear you draw that bow, I'd brave the rushing water.
Melissa, come fiddle me a tune, and I will swim to you by the light of the moon.
Your hair pulled back with a piece of twine, you couldn't be more entrancing. Even if you're decked in ribbons, fine, all you set my soul to dancing.
Oh, my Melissa, come fiddle me a tune, and I will swim to you by the light of the moon.
Can fiddle rings round any hereafter, but underneath your little finger sounds love and laughter. Oh, won't you come and live with me? Be my one and only. We'll raise a big old family. You'll never be lonely.
Oh, my Melissa, come fiddle me a tune, and I will swim to you by the light of the moon.
Thank you.
Well, that sounded like a fun place to be at, didn't it? What a good concert. They really enjoyed themselves there. And that was Laurie Lewis and the Right Hands playing a live concert some 12 years ago. We're going to listen to John Rushman and the Jaybirds now. Fine band based out of British Columbia. And first saw them at Grass Valley. And they just do some really nice music. Jim Nunnally on guitar, Nick Hornbuckle on banjo, Trisha Gagdon on bass, Greg Spatz on fiddle, and John Reichman, of course, on mandolin. And they play some great tunes, lovely instrumentals, and all their songs are really about something. They're interesting songs to have. And we're going to take a couple of tracks. Home Sweet Home. It's not the old one that you know. It's written by Trisha and by John. John did it as a Monroe-style twin fiddle number, and Trisha wrote some words for it. And the words were really to celebrate her 20th wedding anniversary. Isn't that nice? And then the other tune that I'm going to play is one called Troubles. It's an upbeat number about hardship, toil, and poverty. And they pick it up. They do a fine sound. So let's listen to John Rushman and the Jaybirds. Home Sweet Home, and then Troubles.
There's a little white house where the green fields grow and the honeysuckle twines outside the window. There lives my love I long to see, and it's home sweet.
Mine. can pick and shovel too. Can pick and shovel too. Leaving on that early morning train, leaving on that early morning train. Oh Lordy me, oh Lordy my, see you when you haven't got a dime. When your trouble is so deep that you can't eat or sleep. See when your trouble's just like mine. See when your trouble's just like mine.
Some fine music there from John Reichman and the Jaybirds. They're a great Canadian band and do some interesting songs too. You're listening to Back Porch Bluegrass. We are sponsored by Shearer's Music Works, which is a great big store in the Anglesey Street of Hamilton, New Zealand. And they have been meeting the needs of musicians around Hamilton and the greater Waikato area for more than 50 years. And if you go in and see them with any sort of musical need whatsoever, they'll do their best to fulfill it for you. Martin guitars, Deering banjos, electric guitars, keyboards, drums, strings, straps, stands, all the other things that begin with S in a music shop, music, songbooks. See, that was another one. And all the staff are musicians. They all know about playing music and they will be able to help you. So go and see them. They've been sponsoring music all around Hamilton. They know most of the musicians in Hamilton. They know what's going on and they're very helpful too. What better sponsors could you get? I'm delighted to have them as part of the Free FM show sponsorship program. What have we got? Reno and Smiley. Right in my early days of bluegrass music, I enjoyed their music. Don Reno is a banjo player and tenor singer and songwriter, and his compatriot Red Smiley is a guitarist and lead singer in most of the songs. Lovely voice, rich voice. They always had an interesting band for a long time. John Palmer on bass and Mac McGaha on fiddle. And they just did really interesting stuff. Don Reno's instrumentals were wonderful, their songs were good, and they were a fine band right from about 1951 through to 1964. They worked and recorded with King Records and came out with some great tunes. I'm going to play a couple of them for you. Never Get to Hold You in My Arms Anymore. They recorded this in 1959, and the Hamilton County Bluegrass Band recorded it as one of our first recordings back in 1967. And then Unfaithful One, that was recorded in 1961. And just a couple of classic Reno and Smiley tunes that I hope you're going to enjoy. Anymore.
are the ones that always laugh. I'll awake and cry for you and sometimes walk the floor, but I never get to hold you in my arms anymore.
Some classic bluegrass there from Reno and Smiley, and great to hear them play again. They just did things right and always had interesting songs. And what did you think of Don Reno's banjo playing and Never Get to Hold You in My Arms Anymore? Did his famous double banjo, double time stuff in the first break, and then he sort of played it like an electric guitar, and he's a fine player, no doubt about it. We've got an interview coming up with Paul Duff, so I'll start it off with a tune from Bluegrass Parkway. This is from their Southern Flavor album, and of course there's Maria Duff, who plays double bass and does fiddle and vocals, as well as the double bass. Paul Duff, who does mandolin and vocals. Donal Baylor on fiddle, Mick O'Neill on banjo and vocals, and Wayne Perry on guitar and vocals. And they were a big hit at the Kiwigrass Festival over here in New Zealand in February. And they're a big hit everywhere they go, dress immaculately, and the guys in black suits and white hats, and Maria always in an appropriate 50s style dress, always look great, and they have wonderful onstage banter, and as well as playing some great music. So we're going to hear a tune before the interview, a song called A Voice on the Wind, and I'm pretty sure it's Paul Duff singing lead and playing one of his mandolins. Talking with Paul Duff from the band Bluegrass Parkway from Western Australia, and not only being a fine band, Paul is a maker of fine mandolins, the Duff mandolin. How did you get into mandolin making?
Well, it was a little bit of a necessity thing. You know, I'd gotten into bluegrass. I didn't start playing music till I was 19 years old, and I walked into a bar in Fremantle called Clancy's. And it was a bluegrass band playing, and I just got bitten very badly by the bug, you know, and I went out the next day and tried to find an instrument. And then after a while, I was really interested in the fiddle, and then I got interested in the mandolin. And, you know, in 1980, there weren't a lot of instruments around and not a lot of choice. You either had quite a cheap instrument or very, very expensive ones. And a friend of mine had gathered up some wood and found this book called Build Yourself a Bluegrass Mandolin by Roger Siminoff. And he had two sets, and a friend of his was going to build one with him, and the other guy pulled out, and I said, you know, I'd like to have a go at that. And it took me a year to build the very first one. It's quite a journey. And, you know, me being me, I didn't start with something simple. It was an F5,
which
took a long, long time.
Yeah.
But that also is very addictive. And I just, from the very beginning, I started thinking, this is really something I'm very interested in.
Yeah.
And I built a few more, and I got on. I knew about Steve Gilchrist very soon after that. I heard about him and seen a lot about him and read about him. And I built, I think, two or three, and I took my mandolin and got on a bus in Perth and drove to Warrnambool on the bus. It took 3 days to Melbourne, and then had to drive back to Warrnambool. And he was very, very gracious with his time. And that was in 1983, I believe. And I just knew that I wanted to go to the States. I'd been to the States for 6 weeks over Christmas holidays to sort of look at music.
Yes.
And this time I decided I was going to go back there and live and learn as much as I could about building. And that was the start. I wanted something better than I had.
Yes.
And I used that first mandolin for quite a while. Well, I don't have it. My brother has it. It ended up under a pile of wood somewhere in a corner gathering dust. But my brother rescued it and now has it in his lounge room with a light on it, which I find very unusual. It was necessity, really.
Yeah,
I wanted
okay.
it. And it, like many interests, it was infectious, you know.
Yeah. But you worked in the USA making mandolins?
I had written to people. In those days, wasn't the internet, and I wrote letters, and I basically thought, well, I'll write a few of these people that I know of. And I got a couple of responses from people, but they was like, well, look, we're a very small workshop and we can't really take any. I basically said, I'll come and work for nothing and just do anything you want. But, you know, the people were like, well, we're busy. But Flatiron Mandolins in Bozeman, Montana at the time, Steve Carlson said, do you know anything about using watercolours, like the laws for the colouring? Because they were using leather dyes and they were fading in the shop windows. I said, I do use colour, water-based colours. And he said, well, come on up. So I flew over there and I went to Lexington, where I had friends made on the first trip. And then after a few months, went up there. And when I got there, apart from the fact that I landed and it was 20 degrees below zero and 20 inches of snow, which was an amazing thing.
Oh, yes.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful place in Montana. They changed their mind again. They were sticking with the leather dyes. But they said, look, hang around and we'll find jobs for you to do.
Yep.
So I hung around for about 3 months and I got to know the head luthier there at the time, Paul Schneider, who produces Summit Mandolins now. Mm-hmm. And hung around him and talked with him and just watched, observed, and learnt as much as I could. And then I became a bit too expensive because I wasn't earning a lot of money. And now I headed back to Lexington and started working there, working in repair shops and stuff like that.
Finding Gilfrids?
That's it. After about a year, I was about to head back to Australia. I was a bit homesick and I went to a party and people said, oh, Maria might be at that party. And apparently she'd been told that, oh, this Australian guy might be there. So it was so amazing because I'd been working all day and I was really tired, had a headache, got to the party and I knocked on the door, no answer. Could sort of just hear something at the back. Oh, I was really tired. Knock on the door again, no answer. I thought, oh, you know, I'm not going to bother. And the fella I'd gone with said, knock again, you know. I knocked on the door. Door opens. Maria answered the door. And the rest is history. The rest is history. 32 years of marriage later.
How neat is that?
Yeah. Sliding doors moment, I believe.
Absolutely. Well, my son Sam sang a song about the night he met his girlfriend and now became his wife. So perhaps there's a song in there.
There's got to be. Yeah. Well, I've written a few for her.
Okay. Yes, you have. Some lovely, lovely songs. I'll play one of them. And I first met Flatiron Mandolins when I was there, and I had to buy a mandolin for our mandolin play. He said, you can spend a little bit of money and buy me a good mandolin. And I bought a Flatiron A model, about the A5 model with the F-holes.
Yes.
I loved that mandolin, and so did he. And then he traded it And in a later trip to the USA, he traded it in. And I'd said, no, I want that mandolin. Yes. Oh. And my good friend in San Francisco, Chuck Poling, has got a Flatiron F model.
Yep.
It's a lovely good mandolin.
Good mandolins. Beautiful mandolin. So good, in fact, that Gibson bought the company.
Yes, yes.
As they do right. when someone gets competitive.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
But they were very much up there, up there in the top.
And so what you learnt there influenced the making of your mandolin?
It didn't influence it, but it was really good. I want to say I learned a lot of little tricks, but they're not tricks. I learned a lot of things that are important that you need to focus on, you know, and bits about binding and just a little elements of the way things are carved and stuff. But really it was a little bit of the process, the functioning, which is different to a second... Different to a sort of a, you know, when you've got a one-man shop, it's different to a factory.
Yes, yes.
But just watching this head luthier, Paul, work, you know, and like, oh, okay, you know, the use of acetone with binding and just little things. Mm. And it's quite interesting from the very, very beginning. I think the reason that I saw Steve Gilchrist as a mentor, whether he knew it or not,
yes.
he was my mentor, you
right.
know, because he
yes.
was doing the best.
Yes.
Still is.
Yeah.
And very much in that Lloyd Law field, and that's the type of mandolin I always wanted to build. I always loved that design, became infatuated with the F5 design, and the character and the tone of those
yes.
instruments is something, and Steve is the guy who's always done the best examples.
Have you ever done anything like John Duffy has done and do a weird shape?
No,
or anything
I haven't.
Like that?
I sort of haven't. One, because I spent a lot of years trying to get as good as I
yes.
can and develop my skills in the area I want to build. And then after a while, the demand is in that area too.
Of course.
And people want an F5 and they want, or an A5, and you build obviously to where the market is, but you build also to what you love to build. So
yes.
I'm very, very lucky in what I selected as the main area of choice.
Right. So you just, people order and you just keep building.
Yes, I mean, I'm very lucky also now to be very close and a part of Carter Vintage Guitars in Nashville and in Tennessee. And what an amazing place.
Yes.
If you really want the opportunity to get your hands on true vintage instruments, to be able to go in there, and they are so great about, you know, letting people handle the instruments.
Yes.
And to be associated with it is a very big plus for me, because... you know, they sort of, they've got all those examples there, and they have been very supportive because they know the way I build. They handle
yes.
Steve Gilchrist's instruments,
right.
and she wanted to have me as well. So they are
how
wonderful.
Does
you know? So everything that I don't, if someone can, you know, order one directly from me or order through the shop, and anything that's there, she wants it,
yeah.
and straight up. So right. that's great for me as a builder because I've got that support.
We're talking to Paul Duff from Bluegrass Parkway, and talking to Paul as a mandolin maker, and his instruments are superb. If you want the best mandolin you can buy, you only need to go to Australia, unless you need to go and get one of his mandolins from Tennessee.
Yeah.
Thanks very much, Paul.
My
it's
pleasure.
Been a pleasure talking to you.
Love it.
And great. Enjoyed having you.
Thank you very much.
Well, that was interesting, wasn't it? And just to finish off the interview, here's a track from Bluegrass Parkway, and it's called The Lloyd Law, talking about Bill Monroe's mandolin. And it's going to sound just like this. Thank you. Well, that was a track called The Lloyd Law and played on a Duff mandolin. Really nice to have Paul as part of the program. So you're listening to Back Porch Bluegrass, and this is a show that comes from Free FM 89.0, independent community media in Hamilton, New Zealand. It's live streamed from freefm.org.nz or from TuneIn and on Amazon Echo devices using the Free FM 89 Alexa skill. You can get podcasts of this program if you just go to our webpage, freefm.org.nz, and this is about the last 10 shows are kept online there, and you can download and listen at any time, as a lot of people do. Also goes throughout New Zealand on the Access Radio station, so hi to anyone who's listening in one of the Access Radio stations around New Zealand, maybe Wellington Access Radio, Otago Access Radio, Radio Southland, Arrow FM Wairarapa, Plains FM Christchurch, Raglan Community, as well as around Free FM in Hamilton. Also the Access Radio stations in Canada, CFBX Kamloops, British Columbia, Voice of Bombay in Newfoundland, Radio Fanshawe, London, Ontario, and Bluegrass Planet Radio. All you people listening as part of the Access Radio and sharing of programs these days, and it's great to hear from you. If you need to contact me, the best way is just email me at paultrenwith at gmail.com, paultrenwith. At gmail.com, and I'll try and answer all your questions. It's be nice to hear, as I do from some of you already. What are we going to have? We're going to have Russell Moore and Third Time Out. Great band. Russell Moore plays guitar, does vocals. Steve Dilling, banjo and vocals. Justin Haynes, fiddle and vocals. Wayne Benson, mandolin and vocals. Edgar Loudermilk on bass and vocals. So they all sing, they all play, they do great music. I saw Russell Moore when he was part of Dora Lawson's band, and what a wonderful player he was, and has grown to be a real force in bluegrass music. We're going to hear a couple of tracks, The Last Greyhound and Big City Blues.
I made her breakfast and washed her pack. She's leaving town on a one-way track. No point in asking why a bird was made to fly. 18 years and fade to black. One-way ticket and no way back. A cloud of dust into red tail lights. Fading out of sight. She caught the last gray dawn, leaving for the first time in her life. She caught the last greyhound, leaving town tonight. Like all she wants to know is how are things back home. Though she's been around the world, deep inside is a small town girl. Everything she hoped to find was right here all the time. Since today, she just called to say she caught the last gray dawn. Coming home never felt so right. coming home tonight. Well, I went into work late again for the third time this week. All day, big city blues is something I can't beat. I just can't get my feet on the floor when that rooster starts to crow. If I had to leave this world tomorrow, Lord, this ain't no way to go. Well, pushing pins has never been my idea of fun. The first chance I get, I'm gonna take my guitar and run. Think I'll head up to Kentucky, the birthplace of Bill Monroe, and I'll be singing high and lonesome when that evening sun sinks low.
Third Time Out, what a fine band they are, and they really get a groove going there, don't they? There's some just great picking going on there. Well, I always like to do something a bit alternative or something old time, really, that's led to bluegrass. And one of my favourite country songs was a big hit back in the 1930s. I'm going to play you a tune called I Want to Be a Cowboy Sweetheart. It's a country and western song written and first recorded in 1935 by Ruby Blevins, who performed as Patsy Montana. It was the first country song by a female artist to sell more than 1 million copies. And Montana wrote the song in 1934 when she was feeling lonely and missing a boyfriend. It was recorded a year later when Art Satherley of ARC Records needed one more song at a Prairie Ramblers recording. Patsy Montana was the group soloist at the time, and she presented this song and they said, yeah, let's do it. It's based on Stuart Hamblin's western song Texas Plains, and that's why he is credited as a co-writer. And It's sort of like a feminine answer to Stuart Hamblin's songs. Members of the Western Writers of America chose it as one of the top 100 Western songs of all time. And in 2012, her record was added to the Library of Congress's National Recording Registry list of culturally, historically, or aesthetically important American sound recordings. Well, how about that? You're getting it all on Back Porch Bluegrass. Just because I like to hear Patsy Montana sing, I Want to Be a Cowboy Sweetheart. Great song for a bluegrass band to do.
West of the Great Divide, I want to hear the coyotes howling while the sun sinks in the west. I want to be a cowboy sweetheart. That's the life that I love best.
Patsy Montana and I Want to Be a Cowboy Sweetheart. What a great song. Well, we're just about come to the end of Back Porch Bluegrass. I hope you've enjoyed listening to the interview and with Paul Duff and the music that we've played. We'll take it out with some classic bluegrass from the Bluegrass Album Band. And I think we'll hear Bill Monroe's tune, Letter from My Darling. Tony Rice, J.D. Crowe, Dawn Lawson, Bobby Hicks, Jerry Douglas, and Todd Phillips on bass. Todd Phillips was playing on the first track we played in the show too, with Laurie Lewis. So he gets around, doesn't he? Thanks very much for listening. Well, hopefully you can tune in again next week.
Said